We thank you for subscribing to our podcast, and we're ready to begin. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. It is Friday, January 27th, and welcome to InvestTalk. And we're all about above average investing for the average investor to make you better, you know, to try to bolster your investment management skills. So we're ready for your questions. Any money matter that is on your mind, don't hesitate to ask. Remember, this is a call-in show. 888-99-CHART is the number. Now, each Friday, I go over our premium newsletter we send out into email boxes every Friday. I write this email every week, this e-newsletter. And this is one of the ways I provide some information and perspective to augment what we do on InvestTalk here. We think it's pretty handy, straightforward, to the point source of information that doesn't take a lot of time out of your day to read. And so on the first section, the main section, the current market conditions heading, I talked about the stock market, who have, after taking a pause or a breather for a few couple, 3 weeks, decided to make another move up this week in 2 days, I think. And the reason for that move was because everybody kind of liked what the decisions of Trump presidency is doing. They're emboldened by what he decided to do and with those executive orders and things. And the market liked what it heard, liked the rhetoric, but didn't really pay any attention to the anti-trade rhetoric. And I get into that a little bit. And on the economic front, we came down to earth to dig into the real numbers instead of what people think might happen in the future. And the real numbers came in. Durable goods report was negative for the second month in a row. They expected it to be positive, and it wasn't. We also had GDP numbers that were much weaker than they thought. I'm going to go over that in more detail later on today. 1.6 year over year, 1.9 for the fourth quarter. Growth is still growth, but not very good. And then finally, in the newsletter, I would talk about that there's a consumer watch section. This week, I talked about timeshares and some of the drawbacks that people have with them. And if you'd like to try the newsletter for a month, just visit investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. There's a one-month refund offer if you're not completely satisfied. It's like less. It's $10 a month, $9.99. Remember, it comes out every Friday. And while we're talking about bolstering your knowledge, visit our recommended book section on investtalk.com. These are books that we can point to as being worth your time. I think they are. There are different categories: classics, fundamental analysis, technical analysis, economics, personal finance, and we handpick these books. So we don't get anything out of them. We just think these are really good books to learn from. Now, do you have any questions about good sources of information about the market, about the economy? You can check in right now, 888-99-CHART, with any money questions. That's our number, 888-992-4278. And we try to answer the questions if you leave a question on our answering line the next day. But we have a live call from Cole in Minneapolis. How you doing, Cole?
Good. How about you?
Good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Good. Looking at Carbo Ceramics, CRR.
CRR, huh? CRR. Let's take a look. CRR. Okay. They produce and supply ceramic propellant and resin-coated sand used in hydraulic fracturing of natural gas and oil wells. So I'm assuming, Cole, you're thinking, well, President Trump is going to be pro-drilling. You're probably right. I think he will. They've lost money the last 3 years in a row, and they're supposed to make money next year per share. Their sales have been going down for eight quarters in a row. So this is a very small company, $387 million. So what you're doing is you're buying this on the anticipation of a turnaround. And I will say this, it was bottomed about $6 a share in November. As soon as he got elected, this thing started to take off. Did you notice that? And today is at $14.39. So it's more than doubled since he'd been elected. So just so you know, you missed a big part of this already, right, Cole?
Yep.
Okay, yep. So now it's going to make 98 cents a share. Therefore, a 15 PE is right about 15 PE. So it's not super expensive. It really isn't. If you feel it's going to, if you feel that, you know, the drilling is going to pick up in the shell formations, then this is a good stock to own. And I would probably suspect that it will. Now, you notice it jumped up from $10.50 to $14 in 2 days. So
yeah.
I would probably, Cole, I think I'd wait to see if it comes back a little bit to you before you buy
okay.
Yeah. Okay, I think it might. Okay.
All righty. Good deal. Thank you very much.
CRR is the symbol, everybody. Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James? Oh, we lost him already. That was fast. You wanted to talk about Intel. Call back. We'll be happy to talk about Intel. INTC is the symbol. You came back already? Man, he's fast. Let's talk to James.
Yeah, how are you, James? How are you today?
No, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I bought Intel at $20 about several years ago, quite a few years ago. Essentially, I've doubled my money. Done very well, very pleased with it. I was wondering if maybe it's time that I cut my position in half and take the proceeds and maybe invest half of that position in something else, or shall I leave well alone and just let it continue in Intel.
Well, I can tell you this. It's not overpriced. It's not overpriced. Even though with that big move in, you know, that you've had, it's still not overpriced. They're going to make almost $3 a share next year, and it's a $37.98 stock. So you're talking about, you know, 13 PE or so. And so it's not super expensive. And return on equity is 21. So how big is it a part of your portfolio, James? Is it more than, let's say, 5%, 7% of your portfolio?
No, it's not. I'm not overcarrying.
Okay. I think I'd hold on to it and just follow it up with a stop, okay? Because I don't think it's done running. It might be, but if you follow it up with the stop, maybe probably about 5 or 6% below the high right now, $37.98. If it closes below that, the next day it doesn't bump back up, then I'd probably sell my half. This way it keeps you in it if it keeps rolling up. You know, you don't want to, you know, remember that I gave it yesterday, the term, you don't want to cut your flowers and water your weeds. This is one of the flowers for you. So let's see if you can let it run a little bit more. If not, yeah, I'd cut it in half. I would. If it starts to roll on you, I would. Okay, James?
Okay. Thank you much.
Thanks for the call. But Intel is a good, solid company. If it's not too big of your portfolio, there's nothing wrong with holding on to it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Let's have a conversation about your money. Could you be getting better performance from your 401k? Do you know what your performance is? I think a lot of people don't even know. 888-99-CHARTER is how to get through. You can do it right now. 888-99-CHARTER. Let's talk to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. I was wondering about an insurance company stock that's low priced, and I was wondering if you find any value in it at all. It's AEG, and I've noticed that it's pretty far below its book value and kind of coming up lately, and I was wondering what you think of. Did you find anything good about it?
Okay, sure. They're selling about a third of book value, even less than that. I like the fact that it pays also a very nice dividend, 4.5%. This is AEGO, and Aegon is out of Netherlands. It's a Netherlands-based company offering life, accident, health, and general insurance and annuities in over 25 countries. It's an $11 billion company, so it's a big company. And this would what I would call a deep value company, Bruce. sales were shrinking a few quarters ago, but they've turned around dramatically the last two quarters. So it looks like it's doing much better. They're going to make 70 cents a share next year. So that being $5.56 stock looks pretty darn inexpensive to me. So I kind of like it. I kind of like it. Yeah. It may not be a huge runner for it, but I think it's cheap. And while you're waiting for it to go up, you're getting 4.5%. Now the issue might be because it's a ADR, traded on art exchange, but they make all their money outside, almost all of their money outside the United States. So you do have the currency issue, but I think the dollar's going to go down, and that would probably only help this company. So I kind of like it, Bruce.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the call. Ask yourself these blunt questions about your investment knowledge and behavior. We have a new investors quiz, and it may just challenge the experienced investors too, so you might want to listen. That's one of our talking points today, questions that you have to ask yourself. I also want to talk about the GDP numbers. GDP numbers that came out today gives you the fourth quarter and the final year. They're going to be adjusted a little bit, but it gives you a good handle of what happened. And getting a mortgage in 2017, what you kind of need to know. And the biggest visible threat to the stock market in 2017. Those are the things we're going to talk about. Excuse me. Still fighting that cold, but it's going away. The market itself, the Dow was down 7, the NASDAQ was up 6, and the S&P was down 2. So we had a couple of very kind of nothing days after a couple of pretty exciting up days this week. So that's what's going on. The earnings are coming out. They're getting pretty hot and heavy, even though they're really not being reported on that much. But they're coming out pretty good. And one of the reasons they are is because the comparisons going forward for the next few quarters are going to be pretty easy because they were so bad in 2016. They were going down, 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 4, 5, 6 quarters in a row. Well, now they might be turning around because the comparisons are easier. Because before they were low. So now they'll say, oh, yeah, it was up 7% from last year. Well, but last year it was down 8% from the year before. So that's why you're going to hear the market talk about good earnings. Well, you really got to look at the numbers, not look at what people say, percentage moves and things. It's got to look at the actual numbers and look at history and make sure that they actually are growing their numbers. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. You remember a couple of days ago, I was talking about the malls, the big box stores are hurting and they're going to have to change. The malls are going to have to metamorphose. Well, there was an article the very next day, and one I wanted to talk about yesterday briefly, and a bunch of malls are defaulting on their loans, and the banks are taking over the malls, and this is happening more and more. It dramatically increased in 2016 from 2015, and it's probably going to be a continuing problem, and this is what I mean that these malls are going to be suffering. They're going to have to find a new model. And probably it's going to be about food. Specialty, high-end food, kiosks kind of thing, small boutique kind of restaurants, that kind of thing. Excuse me. This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. It's been said that the debt is the act of borrowing from your future self, and the penalty is interest. Want to talk about debt? Have a lot of debt? 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. Let's talk to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I'm good. Yourself, Steve?
Good. You want to talk about one of my favorite subjects or favorite books anyways?
Yeah. Creative Destruction. And I really like this concept. And it actually... The question came into my head because of a caller yesterday. They called about how can you tell if a company is about to go into bankruptcy. He was talking about Pearson, PSO.
Right. Yes. Uh-huh.
And I guess my question is, how can you tell when a company is adapting to a new business model, because here's why I ask this. I do a lot with state standardized assessment in our mm-hmm. state. And okay. Pearson is our testing vendor. They have a huge contract. They also have contracts with a lot of other states, and are the test delivery contractor for the PARC test, which is incorporates a whole bunch of states. So I guess the question is, and they're transitioning to all online assessments, and their backbone and infrastructure is really good. So to me, that one looks like one that could be coming back, I guess that's the question. How can you tell? So, I mean, I guess you really have to look into the whole of the business to tell how they're adapting. But is there a breaking point?
One of the ways is look at where they're spending their money, the research and development. Where are they putting money? Are they putting it toward improving their old way of doing business, thinking that, well, if we just print faster these books, and yeah, or are they using their money toward the internet, online delivery of tests, online delivery of texts? You know, if they're moving toward that and they're making a big push, then they'll probably survive, because a lot of companies do survive by adapting. If they adapt, and they got to be an adapter to that, they can't just kind of like pay it a passing fancy. You got to really do it. They will survive. So whenever you see that happen, Walmart is also another example, by the way. How much money they're putting toward their online business? I mean, we're talking billions.
Yeah.
Because they know they're losing out to Amazon. So they are pushing hard to keep up with what they know is coming and has been coming for some time. So Pearson is pushing hard into the online servicing of whatever it is, testing or the textbooks, whatever. Then you know you have a shot. They're still in an industry that is being destroyed, but are they? And you just never know for sure, Jim. You never know for sure who's going to be the winner. But at least you want to see the CEOs and making the effort to stay pertinent in this environment.
Right.
So that's all thing you can do.
And I know that they're also UK-based, and I don't know if that has an influence on that price with everything that's gone on with Brexit and you know, all of the things going in with the UK right now and all their changes in laws. And I think there was a court case recently that affects that as well. Is I'm assuming that that's probably factoring into that stock price as well, or is that just assumption that I'm making incorrectly?
No, you're correct. Nothing's in a vacuum. So yeah, that has something to do with it. Jim, thanks for the call. Very good question. Okay. Appreciate it. Art, Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, If it's a good entry point at this point for Medtronic, because I was actually trying to wait till it came back down a little bit, down to like in the low 70s, like 73 or so, maybe even a little less than that. But looks like it's on the way up.
Yeah, I think this is a good point to enter. Yeah, you must. Yeah, you're probably. If something happens, whether you get a correction, this will fall further. If not, this is the price you want to be in. It's, you know, you want to start to get in right here, 73, 74. It's a 74.95, everybody. And it got as low as 71 at the beginning of the year, and then got as high as 76, 77, fell down a bit to 74, and now it's 74.95. So this is where I think this is where you would jump in if you want to be in this stock. This is on a technical basis.
Would you go like half, or would you go the full?
I would go half myself. I would go half at this point. Because, you know, I would love to get it cheaper if you can, because it's not cheap, but it's not way expensive either. It's just not cheap. So, yeah, but this is technically, this is probably a good spot to get in. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thank you. We're heading into part two of our Friday Invest Talk show, everybody. Plenty of time to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. So if you want to talk to me live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, now's the time to do it. 888-992-4278. Mike is holding in San Jose, and we'll get to him then soon, and then hopefully you.
Our podcast will continue now in just a moment. Good reason number 4 for getting together with Steve for a portfolio checkup.
One of the things I don't think enough people are considering are dividends.
Dividends. They can be the hidden value in a stock. The question is, how can I maximize my return and not be fooled by dividend-paying stocks with no future?
Don't have to be stocks. They could be oil trusts. They could be master limited partners. It could be REITs. At some point, you have to say, you know what? I need to earn a little bit more money.
Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and life situations today. To schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve via Skype or telephone or in person in California, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. On our next Invest Talk, even the best savings plans can hide significant risks. Check that your own 401k doesn't contain these hidden dangers. Are these 4 big risks hiding in your 401k plan? That's next time. For right now, you set the topic. Check in at 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I wanted to thank you for the trade Tema. Looked pretty good today.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it hit the bottom when it hit that bottom, but it looks like it has. So now we got a few days of up move. Let's hope it keeps it up, Mike.
Is there a resistance or a support that you might want to let it ride?
Yeah,
or just
there's going to be some resistance right around $36. It's at $34.59 right now. This is Teva, everybody, T-E-V-A. We've been talking about that this week. Israel developer last week and this week. Israel developer of generic specialty and over-the-counter drugs. And they're out of Israel. They're a big company, $35 billion, and they're very inexpensive. So when the sales have turned around in recent quarters, so you felt the whole, we haven't got this most recent quarter, the last quarter of 2016 in yet, but in the third quarter, the sales jumped 15%, but the stock kept falling. So, you know, the value is there, and it has paid the 3.3 dividend. And just the last few days, it moved from like $33, you know, $32.50 to $34.59. So it's starting to move up, but it was going down, 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 down slowly. And we bought it. KPP has a position in some of its accounts in Teva. And I still think it's a bargain. I do. So, Mike, you bought it apparently, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I that does have resistance at around $36. But I don't think I would do anything about it. It might hesitate there. But I don't know. I'd still hold on to it. If you already have it, I'd just hold on to it. I mean, we're talking about a 7 or 8 PE. So, yeah, paying 3.3%. So, okay, Mike.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Teva, T-E-V-A, everybody. T-E-V-A. I like because it's generic and it's big worldwide. And, you know, of course, the reason why it was falling, one of the reasons was because they're, you know, both Hillary during the campaign and Trump just recently was saying how the drug companies make too much money. Well, this is a generic drug company. You know, that he's going to be hard pressed to accuse them of making too much money because it's the discounters. Well, of course, they could be making too much money. I don't know, but I'm just saying that they're not the the patent drug makers. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's see, what do we want to talk about? Let's talk about questions you need to ask yourself. So, do you have enough knowledge to manage your own portfolio? That's really the issue. Do you have that knowledge? Okay, so the first question is, in your 401k, which most a lot of people have, or any other account, do you know what you own? Do you know what will push what you own up or down? You know what sectors you're in? You know what percentage of your portfolio are in the different sectors? Are you all overloaded in one sector? Do you even want to take the time to find out? Know yourself. If you don't want to take the time to find out, then you should probably, especially in your 401ks, just stick with the indexes. If you have an independent account outside of those, then you could stick with the indexes or hire somebody if you don't have any desire to do it yourself. Okay, if you hire somebody, have you looked at their ADV? Check them out? And you talk to anybody else, maybe somebody that like a reference? You know, you really need to find out. Of course, you realize I'm talking about me, right? I'm talking about me and everybody else in my industry. Don't just hire them. You know, check them out a little bit. Do you understand when I talk about diversification, do you understand what that really means? Or is it just a term that you think you know what it means, but you're not going to do it anyways because it sounds too hard? Do you know how your money manager is paid? Your investment advisor, how he gets paid? We've been talking about back-end loaded mutual funds and front-end loaded funds and 12b1 funds and, you know, commissions. How does he get paid? Remember, he's got to get paid. I have to get paid. I got salaries and, you know, everything just like every other businessman. But you really should know how he gets paid. That should be up front. He should be telling you that. Those are some of the things you need to be asking. You know, so, and many people don't know these things, but you should. That's your job. It's your money. You got to grow it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Looking at my checkup calendar, I will be in San Ramon next week, January 31st. That's Tuesday. For individual retirement reviews for a limited number of our listeners. Then I'll be in San Jose on February 8th. And, of course, I make time to meet with listeners on Skype and telephone anywhere, anytime they might want to. So if you'd like to set up a time with me on those dates, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then follow the review.
Learn how to capitalize on economic and political shifts in this new year. Investing is all about looking ahead. We learn what we can from the past, but the question is always, what are we going to do with tomorrow? How to prosper in the year of change, 2017. This most recent webinar is now ready to replay when you're ready. That's just one of a whole library of recorded webinars with Steve and Justin that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Why not sign up? It's free on investtalk.com.
Hello, my name is Kim. I have a question on spousal IRA. I am retired and I am not working, and I was wondering if I can open up a spousal IRA, and I'd like to hear more about information on spousal IRA. Thank you.
Okay, and the answer is yes. If you're not working as a spouse and but your spouse is, yes, there, you can open up an IRA even though you don't have earned income, but long as there's earned income from your spouse. Now, if you ask me any more details than that, I'm going to have to say you got to talk to your accountant because it's not my area expertise. But I do know, yes, you can do that. How do I know that? Because I did that with my wife. She, you know, I do that. I've done that. So that's how I know. It is done. It can be done. And yes, and the amount you can put away is the same amount as a normal IRA. And they call them a spousal IRA because even though they're really your IRA, it's not your spouse's IRA, it's yours. They call them that because one of the married couple has to be working and have earned income. Remember, you can't open up an IRA without earned income. Well, if a spouse doesn't work, well, you still can open up an IRA for that person that's not working, as long as the partner is. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The GDP number came out for the fourth quarter. It was up 1.9%. That was not very good. It expected a not-so-hot 2.2%, and it came in below that. Year over year, for the year, 1.6% GDP growth. That is pretty small. That is very disappointing, really. What is our average over long periods? 3.3%. We haven't seen 3% since 2005. We haven't seen 3% GDP since. Why is that? We should be seeing it. And this is probably one of the reasons why people feel that we're not doing very well, because that number kind of supports that thinking. Despite, you know, quote unquote, full employment jobs and stuff, it just feels like it because we're not growing, and our productivity is slow too. You add those two together and it doesn't feel like we're doing very good. Now, one of the reasons why the GDP number was so low is because imports spiked up 8.3%. And this is a problem. Remember when we're talking about trade deficit. And if we import a lot more than we export, and of course our high dollar was a problem with that, what happens is that detracts from your GDP growth. Even though sales by consumers was decent, all the numbers were decent except for the import numbers spiked, so it dragged down our GDP number. So that's what that report, and then you add on that, you want to add a little bit more insult to injury. The durable goods report was negative too, and they expected that to be positive a couple percentage points, and it came in shrinking to 0.4%, and that's after shrinking big time last month, so you had 2 months in a row. It's not so good. But then again, if you take out airplanes and vehicles, it was up about 0.8%. So it wasn't as bad as it looked. All these numbers tell us what they've been telling us for some time. We're growing. We're just not growing very good. We're adding jobs, but we're just not growing very well. We're just not. Let's turn back to our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. This is Raja from California. Been a podcast listener for about a month now. Investing for a couple years now. Bought some shares of NXPI, NXP Semiconductors. And I was wondering if you would suggest that I go ahead and accept the offer. So the offer is from Qualcomm for $110 per share. Had the stock now since about July. So the stock price, I see it hasn't gone up to $110, which is the price offer. So I was just wondering something to that that I'm not aware of. Look forward to your answer. Thanks a lot. You guys are great. Bye.
Okay. What he's talking about, people, is when you own a stock and a company buys your company, Qualcomm offered to buy them on October 27th for $100 per share. When a company buys another company, they buy your shares, okay? And they will send you a notice saying, do you accept the offer of the Qualcomm deal? And you can say no, and you still will get the $110 a share. You have no power, because the number of shares you own is too small. So, but they still make you the offer because you're the owner. You're the owner of that company, those shares. But that you have no choice. You're going to get paid $110. And that's it. You're going to get it. Now, whenever the deal closes, I don't know when it closes. The stock is selling for $97.88 right now. So when it closes, you'll get $110. This is not uncommon. It's not uncommon for the stock to go up to about 90% of the offering price. Why? Why not 100%? Because something could go wrong. And there's always that little bit of fear that something could go wrong. And there's a cost of money over time. What if it takes 6 months to close this deal? What if it takes a year? Could you put that money to better use somewhere else? So you could sell it on the open market for $97.88, because that's what it is right today, or you can wait till the deal goes through and you'll get $110. If the deal doesn't go through, this stock will fall right back down to about $82. There's your risk. But you don't have much of a choice. Don't think you have a choice just because they send you a document and say, will you accept? You can throw that document in the trash. You're still going to be forced to take the deal. NXPI being bought by Qualcomm. 888-99-SHORT. Okay. Let's talk about mortgages for 2017. What's gonna change in 2017? Well, refinancing is probably going to dry up. It's pretty much dried up already because mortgage rates have moved up to about 4%. So everybody who had half a brain has already refinanced their mortgage the last couple of few years, trying to get the lowest prices they can get. So now as it starts to rise, there's going to be fewer and fewer people that will want to refinance. Okay, you may be wanting to refinance to get rid of the PMI because housing prices have gone up. So remember, if you don't put 20% down, you need 20% equity into the property. So if the value has gone up, you might be able to get rid of that PMI. So check that out. See if you have a 20% equity in the property. 2017, try to do that. Rates are going to rise in 2017, especially if the stock market does well, because the Fed will just increase the rates. They're going to increase the rates if the economy and the stock market look decent. They've signaled that they're going to raise them 3 times this year. I don't know if they'll do that, but they are signaling they're going to raise the rates, and it definitely will happen with the stock market going up. And finally, expect the guidelines to qualify for loans to loosen up a little bit. Now, why do I say that? Because banks want the deals. They are in business to make money. Trump has promised a reduction of red tape, but that isn't why they would do it, but it helps. But the banks will loosen the guidelines a little bit simply because they want the business. So expect that. That's probably going to happen this year. Okay, so those are the things that, the real estate, getting a mortgage in 2017, some of the changes you might see. You're listening to Invest Talk. The invitation is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 888-99-CHART. You can call that number anytime you want. Any questions is welcome anytime.
My name is Fahim. So I had a question about you have been talking about acquisitions and their effect on stocks. So my question was about Yahoo and its ongoing acquisition by Verizon. I own Yahoo stock, but I haven't the faintest idea yet on how this acquisition is going to play out. Do I, as a Yahoo stockholder, do I get Verizon stock? Do I get stock of the company that's left behind, which is mostly Alibaba shares? And I was hoping you could, if you had any views on that.
Well, we have to look at the offer. I don't know what the offer is. Company with cable forms. I had to look at it. If you'll send me email, I'll look it up and tell you. But the way that that happens is that, like the deal we just talked about with Qualcomm and other company, it was all cash for $110 a share. But many times it's a combination of cash and shares of the new company. So if you're, let's say you're Yahoo's bought by Verizon. So they may give you some shares of Verizon and some cash. Or they may just give you all Verizon stock. Or it could be all cash. It's going to be one of those three things. That's how they do it.
Okay.
But many times it's a combination of cash and stock. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what Verizon offered Yahoo, but we just have to look that up.
Okay? Right. So Verizon is only buying a part of Yahoo. They're not buying the in Yahoo in its entirety. They're basically buying Yahoo's core business.
Oh, okay. So they're buying
properties, but they're not buying Yahoo's investments and in Alibaba and Yahoo Japan and whatnot.
Okay.
So I'll drop you an email though. I think that'll be better.
Okay, so there will be left. Yahoo still will be existing. The stock price will be a fraction of $44, which is what it is today, because they're selling portions of it out. So the price of Yahoo will be much less, because whatever's left in the company will have a lot less value than it did before. And there still will be one of those three ways that they'll buy the rest of Yahoo: use stock, cash, or a combination of both. Thanks for the call, Al-Fahim. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yahoo, Y-H-O-O. And I just don't know what the deal terms of the deal was. I just don't know. Okay, the biggest visible threat to the stock market in 2017, the biggest visible threat to the market. I say visible because anything could come out of left field and we don't know. And that it will be a trade war. Okay, that's the biggest visible threat because of Trump's stance on insisting on different renegotiating deals that we have with current trade partners. And, you know, for instance, we have $60 billion deficit, a trade deficit with Mexico alone. And so he wants them to pay for the wall. And so what does that mean? He nicks the Pan-Pacific trade treaty. So now he's going to negotiate country by country. What does that mean? Well, there'll be a trade war. That's what we're talking about. And that's remember that what is the trade war? Who's going to punish it the most will be the multinationals, right? And most of the stocks in the S&P 500 are multinational stocks. So their earnings are going to be impacted. Therefore, the S&P 500 will go down if there's a trade war. No doubt in my mind, they will. So this is the biggest possible threat. And remember, the war doesn't actually have to happen. That what has to happen is investors believe that it might happen and the stock market will go down. Right now, they don't have that belief at all. They don't think not happening. At least that's not what they're thinking at this point. But we'll see. We'll see if it gets more contentious as we go forward. And if you never read Trump's book called The Art of the Deal, this came out a long time ago. What he is doing is exactly how he conducts business as stated in that book. He takes a hard line, he's a tough negotiator, and then he comes back and tries to make a deal. He nixes the deal or says it's not good enough. He comes back again and again and again until he gets what he wants. That's how he operates. This should not be a surprise to anybody who's read his book. Now, I read his book years and years and years ago when it came out. And it was pretty interesting. You wouldn't want to be on the opposite side of him on a deal. He's very tough. Very tough. Even when he doesn't have the advantage or it doesn't look like he has an advantage. And I just remember the Atlantic City deal with the banks that he owed a lot of money to. He still came out smelling like a rose, and they were filing bankruptcy at his hotels. Our time is up for the hour, everybody. Here's something to think about. The person with the mind of a successful investor is always looking to the long term and not strictly what feels good at the moment. If you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, send me a note. Just go to contactsteve on investtalk.com. That's an email that comes directly to me. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And on behalf of Justin Klein, everybody else at KBB, thanks for being with us today. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.